Hello, True North. It's Friday, May 1st. My name is Jay, and welcome to True North Daily. It was the summer of 1993. I was 1 month away from finishing 7th grade, and soon I would be in 8th grade and rule the school. And on a whim, my best friends and I decided to go and toilet paper someone's house. For some reason, we decided to hit a specific house. He was a fellow student at our school, a grade above us. He did nothing to us, and we had no vendetta against him. It was just the stupidity of youth with too much time on our hands and not enough sense. So one Friday night, after hours of playing Sonic the Hedgehog and Altered Beasts on Sega Genesis, we began to plan our attack. First, we grabbed two rolls of toilet paper each. I mean, just the thought of wasting toilet paper now makes me want to go back in time and shake some sense into me. After the toilet paper, we grabbed eggs and toothpaste. I don't know who brought the idea of toothpaste, but for some reason we thought it would be a good idea. So at 2 in the morning, disguised in masks and sweaters, we stayed in the shadows and swiftly made our way quietly to about half a mile to where this schoolmate lived. Then the party started. We spent a good 15 minutes throwing toilet paper everywhere, on the trees, on the fence, on the roof. And then I grabbed the toothpaste and I smeared it on the garage door. And lastly, right before we were finished, we grabbed the eggs and bombarded the front door of the house with a gooey breakfast food that are so hard to come by now. Now, we got back to my house and we laughed about it and swore that we would never say a word to anyone. No one ever found out who did it, and we never said a word. You know, there were some speculations thrown around, but no one ever got caught. And for 27 years, I have held onto this guilt, knowing that for no good reason, as if there could ever be a good reason, I participated in vandalizing an innocent family's house. Even still, I feel guilty thinking about the time and energy it must have taken for them to clean the front yard, the feeling of violation they must have felt to see their house treated in such a way, and the student who perhaps wondered if he was the reason the house got toilet papered. And the guilt that I felt is what unconfessed sin does. In Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4, the author says this: "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." See, "for when I kept silent" is referring to the author keeping his sins secret and unconfessed, and that living with unconfessed sins made his bones waste away. Now here's the thing. If you have a scratch, you can put a Band-Aid on it. If you have muscle pains, you can massage it or put Icy Hot or Tiger Balm on it. But if your bones are wasting away, it means that the problem is internal and much more serious. And that is the effect of unconfessed sins in our lives. Unconfessed sins has a way of rooting itself deep in our hearts and causing the pain of guilt and shame, wreaking havoc in our psyche and in our souls. Maybe some of you are living in this life right now. Perhaps you have sins that are being unconfessed, that you have hidden away, that you are thinking, you know what, as long as I just stop, maybe it will go away. Not only that, but the author says that that God's hand was heavy upon me. The pressure that came was not only internal, but also came from God, because the goal is not to punish, but to restore. God's hand weighed heavy upon him as God desired for the author to confess his sins to the Lord. Why? Because the outcome and the benefit of confession is this. Psalm 32, verse 5 and 6 says this: "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." When sin is confessed, we are guaranteed that our sins will be forgiven. But now, not only do we confess our sins to God, but we are also commanded to confess our sins to one another. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this: "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." See, confession is a discipline that has two avenues: confession to God, but also confession to one another. Confessing to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ is an opportunity for us to receive the gift of accountability. And not only that, but the responsibility of confession is not only upon the offender, but also on the ones who witness the offense. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." See, what Apostle Paul is referring to here is this, that someone who is caught in transgression, those that witness it, those that are more mature, those that are spiritually aligned with Christ, that they are to go to this person to restore them. And what that restoration looks like is to get them to confess their sins publicly, both to God and to one another. Just as God's hand weighs heavily upon the one with unconfessed sins, our calling as believers, as fellow Christians, is to go and approach those that are in sin in order that we can help restore them through their confession. So we must confess to experience the freedom and grace of God's forgiveness. We must confess to one another for the joy and beauty of accountability. And we must seek out the confession from those that are in transgressions to fulfill our role as a united community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in Christ there is no condemnation. May we practice the discipline of confessing our sins to you and to one another, that we will confront those in sin for the purpose of restoring them back to you. Continue to watch over us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.